Tonight is the beginning of our missions conference, and we'll be having services every evening, tomorrow and Friday, and then we'll have our banquet on Saturday at 4, and services all day when we'll be taking up our faith promise commitments. Hope you're already praying about that and seeking the Lord's will concerning your giving. It's good to have Pastor Travis Burke with us, his wife Stacy, and they're from Kazadale Baptist in Goshen, Ohio, just outside of Cincinnati. They support a couple of our missionaries, and we appreciate their fellowship in the gospel. And Brother Travis was here several years ago and preached our teen winter camp, and our teenagers certainly enjoyed getting to know him, but I'm so glad he could come back and be with us for this special meeting this week, and I trust that you'll give him your attention and allow the Lord to speak to your heart as he opens the scriptures. Brother Travis, you come and preach to us, brother. We're glad you're here.
Thank you. All right, if you take your Bibles with me this evening and turn to 2 Samuel in chapter number 6, 2 Samuel chapter number 6, it is good to be back here. We appreciate this church so much. Just appreciate your fellowship, as Pastor just said, and the opportunity to support some of your missionaries. And you've been a blessing to ours as well. This church did something for Brother Brian Roberts, starting a church in Colorado out of our church, and he is in his house, and very much appreciated with all those kids too. But he's very thankful, and he wanted me to send his thanks tonight as well, and talk to him as I was driving down through here. He called and just sends his greetings as well. And we love you all, and I truly mean that. And we appreciate you all, and I encourage you to continue standing, keep doing what's right. And so God's good, and we'll never go wrong following the Lord. So 2 Samuel chapter number 6, appreciate the hospitality, and been able to, looking forward to meeting some more folks. And I appreciate, last time I came, my son, we figured out he was in 7th grade. Now he's a freshman in college, so it's been a while. It's amazing how quickly time goes, and you know, you pray. I mean this. I'm not being funny at all, right? I've been really trying to improve my health, and so I ask people to pray for that. I've lost 43 pounds so far, and I ask you to pray for that, and I mean that in all sincerity. I'm thankful for 43. It's like throwing a lawn chair off the Titanic. We still have a way to go, all right? But so far, so good. But I appreciate your prayers there too. All right. 2 Samuel chapter 6. If you don't mind, I always have our folks stand for the preaching and reading of the Word of God. So if you wouldn't mind standing, read just a few verses if you're able to. We'll stand here in 2 Samuel chapter 6 and in verse number 1. It says, "Again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and on psalteries and on timbrels and on cornets and on cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error. And there he died by the ark of God." Let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray that, Lord, you'd bless this time now around your word. I thank you for the word of God. And Lord, I ask you, Lord, just to bless now the preaching of it. I pray you'd hide me and lift up your word tonight. I pray you'd, Lord, give these folks here at this church, Lord, some teaching this week, some instruction, some encouragement, Lord, to keep on, to seek your will, and to follow you. Father, I pray you continue your hand of blessing upon this church. We love you. We thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, and be seated. Appreciate the missionary updates. And I do not know the Nelson family, but I look forward to looking them up more. I've known the Kuzels for quite a while. Brother Kuzel is a good friend of mine, and I appreciate him. Last time he was at our church, I'm going to tell on him, all right? But last time he was at our church, we had a men's activity, and we went skeet shooting. Because, you know, it's a manly thing to do, right? Right. There's four men here. Good. All right, good. All right. So we went skeet shooting, and I asked Brother Kuzo, he's doing the devotion that night. I said, do you want to participate? He said, no, I better not. I said, come on, none of us are experts. He said, well, I probably won't do no good. I said, well, do it. So he got out there. He joined in our little competition. He went through five rounds and never missed one. When it was over, I found out that he, at one time, was semi-pro in skeet shooting, and he never told us that. I gave him a trophy. Then I saw him out in Missouri after that, about 2 years after that, Pastor Smith's church. He said, do you remember when I did that to you? He said, that was great. I said, yeah, I've never forgot. You're a liar. He goes, ah. So that's Brother Kuzel. No, he's awesome. I love Brother Kuzel. He is a good guy. I appreciate him, and I'm praying for him when all this happened. And he's right about the pictures with his arm. I showed, where's Brother Ben Hall at? Where's he at? I showed Jordan the pictures, and Jordan, I had to catch him. He almost passed out. He was in, and we were on the platform, but he, it was very bad, and he really needs your prayers, and it was a bad injury. So do pray for them. Here in our passage of Scripture, let's get into this. We, of course, here this week, looking at missions this week. I'm excited about it. And so why would you start here in the Old Testament in 2 Samuel? Because I think there's an important lesson here for us to learn out of this passage. Here, and many of you, I'm sure, know this story and what's going on. In this passage of Scripture, of course, the Philistines had taken the Ark of God. They had taken the Ark. They had it for a while there, and they put it in the house of their gods. God was very displeased with that, and the Bible says was heavy upon them. Many Philistines died because they had the Ark in their possession. God also sent a terrible disease to the Philistines. Preached a sermon one time, don't mess with God, you'll get it in the end. You can study that later, all right? They realized quickly that they were messing with the wrong God, because this, for the first time, was the real God. And so they decided they were going to send the ark back. So they got all the lords of the Philistines together, and they got them all together. They put them on this this cart that they made, and they sent it back to Israel. When they got it back, of course, they brought it in, and it stayed there in the house of Abinadab for quite a while. While it was there, God blessed Abinadab in some wonderful ways. But David finally said, you know, we need to bring the ark back to, or bring it here to Jerusalem. So they gathered the people together to do this. And they wanted to bring the ark back. And so they, again, as we just read here in 2 Samuel 6, verse number 1, he gathered together the chosen men of Israel. So he gets some of the big shots of Israel, and they all get together. And they get then, as it says there, verse number 2, they arose and got all the people together, and they came down there to get the ark of God. And then in verse number 3, they set the ark of God upon a new cart. So they put the ark on this cart, just like the Philistines did. And they wanted to head back and bring it back, or bring it to where David wanted that. Now there's a problem in what they were doing. That's not how God instructed them to carry the ark. And because of that, something terrible happened. When it went across the threshing floor, of course, the ark began to shake. Uzzah reached out his hand to steady the ark, and when he did, God smote him and he died. Well, when David saw this, he was afraid. He said, we're going to stop everything we're doing. And they left the ark there for quite a while, actually. And David was afraid and was really upset that God would do this thing. Now, why did it take place? Well, go back real quick in Numbers. We'll come back to 2 Samuel, but look at this real quick in Numbers chapter number 7. And I want you to see this with me this evening. Numbers chapter number 7, exactly why this happened. In Numbers chapter 7 and in verse number, in the whole chapter to give it instructions about moving, here with the tabernacle and things. But jump in with me in Numbers chapter 7 and in verse number 4. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take it of them, and they may do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. And thou shalt give them unto the Levites, to every man according to his service. And Moses took the wagons and the oxen and gave them unto the Levites. Two wagons and four oxen he gave unto the sons of Gershon according to their service. And four wagons and eight oxen he gave to the sons of Merari according unto their service under the hand of Ithiar, the son of Aaron, the priest." Verse number 9. "But unto the sons of Kohath he gave none." So they got no carts. "Because the service of the sanctuary belongeth unto them, that they should bear upon their shoulders." Now you understand, the sons of Kohath, they had the responsibility. They were to move this, and the ark was to be moved, but it was to be done upon their shoulders. Now that was how God instructed it. Now other things were able to, the Levites and were able to use the carts, but not them. They were not. And Numbers in chapter number 4, go back just a few pages. Numbers chapter number 4, look with me in verse number 15. Numbers 4 and in verse number 15. It says this, "And when Aaron and his sons have made an end of the covering the sanctuary, and all the vessels of the sanctuary as the camp is to set forward, after that the sons of Kohath shall come to bear it, but they shall not touch any holy thing, lest they die. These things are the burden of the sons of Kohath and the tabernacle of the congregation." So they were to bear it, and they were not to touch any holy thing, lest they die. Now, why would God do this? Well, I'll tell you this. Throughout the scriptures, God takes very seriously his solemn pictures that he's given us in his word. You go all the way back to Cain, when Abel brought his sacrifice. And of course, God accepted Abel's sacrifice. But when Cain brought his, and he brought the best that his hands could produce, and I'm sure it was very impressive what he brought. But God would not accept that because it was a picture, obviously, of the sacrifice that would one day come, that of the lamb being slain, and that Jesus Christ would one day die for our sins. So Cain's sacrifice was not accepted. And Cain became a very bitter man and did some wicked things. But why would God take such a strong stand? Because of what it pictured was important. When Moses struck the rock the second time. I mean, after all that Moses did, you just step back as a human being and say, wow, one mistake and he didn't get to go into the promised land. But that was a picture God had given. The first time the rock would be smitten and Jesus would go to the cross for our sins and he would give us life, and amen for that. But from then on, praise God, all we must do is call upon him now. He'll never be crucified again. And that was a precious picture. And when Moses smote the rock a second time, God took that very seriously. That's why marriage is held so sacred in the Word of God, because marriage in a relationship is that of a wonderful picture between Christ and the church. And that's why he says, by the way, in the Word of God, that he hates the putting away. Amen. He hates that because it's a serious thing. So what was going on here as they were carrying this ark? It was a sacred thing. In the ark was the Ten Commandments. In the ark, and it was all this, you know what was all the commandments, the Aaron's rod, and all these things that were in there. But the fact is this, it was beyond that, all right? It wasn't, you know, just the Aaron's rod was in this, why it was so important. It was a picture. It was a beautiful picture. That they were to carry a burden. They were carrying this covenant with them. They were carrying it and from place to place. And I'm thankful today to look at every one of you today and to say this. We don't need to go, and you know this, to some priest to go to God on our behalf. We've all been made kings and priests. We all can go to God on our behalf. But you understand, in the Old Testament, amongst all the Levites, there were selected a handful that were to go, the Kohathites, that were to go and to carry this burden and to take this covenant from land to land. And I would present to you that there's a wonderful picture that every one of us that are saved, we've been made priests. Praise God for that. We can go to God. But God chooses out of all of us a handful of people that will carry this gospel, this new covenant that God's given. They'll carry the gospel message. They'll take it to the world and they'll share that. But that is a burden. And it's not to be taken lightly. And how we do this matters to God. The whole process of taking missions in the gospel to this faraway land, the way we do it, matters. Amen. Look over in 2 Timothy, and then we'll go back to 2 Samuel. But look over in 2 Timothy quickly with me, in 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. And in verse number 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse number 1. Says this, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." But look at verse 5. "If a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully." I present to you this evening that there is a right way to do this work. And I also would present to you that there is a wrong way to do this work. You say, well, you know, as long as you'll hear this, if you'll just keep your ears open, you'll hear this. Well, as long as we're getting the gospel out, it really doesn't matter. Actually, it does.
That's right.
It does. There are many people that are striving for masteries, and I am thankful, but the fact is this, only those who do it lawfully, God will reward. And I'm thankful that I'm not in any way rebuking Lehigh Valley Baptist Church. I am encouraging you, continue to do it lawfully. Continue to do it the right way. Because God has given us a way to do things. And when it concerning missions. In our independent Baptist, we unfortunately, for the last probably 70 years, have been looking at a lot of different groups of people and trying to change the way we do things based after them. We've taken a lot of examples from the business world and even the Mormons and Jehovah's Witness and the Southern Baptists and the BBF. And we try to mix everything together and say, now, what is the most effective way to do this? Now, I'm not against learning anything that I can. I want to learn whatever I can. But friends, if it goes contrary to this book, then it's wrong. You say, why would you say that tonight, you know, with this kind of meeting? Because the way many churches are trying to get the work of missions done is not how the Bible says. And if we're going to do what's right, we have to do it lawfully. And if we don't do it by the way that God has given us in His Word, then God is not pleased. God has a plan. It really all comes down to, and where this has all kind of gotten off track, you know, for the last probably 40, 50 years, is a lack of doctrine when it comes to the local church. Without that teaching and the, you know, and this year at our church, our theme this year is God's blueprint for the church. And we're going through, we've taught on the Bible, the doctrine of scriptures, the doctrine of the church. And that's all I've gotten through so far in 2 months. But, you know, the great majority of our church, they know these things. But there is a generation coming up that I do not want them to think that we do that because we do it. I want them to understand why we do what we do, because I want that torch to be carried on. Amen. And if they don't have a biblical foundation for what they do, if they, you know, we at our church support only missionaries that are sent through and from their local church. And, you know, and I want our people to understand that. But I don't want, you know, these teenagers sitting in the pew who will one day, Lord willing, be leaders in our church to say, why did we do that? I guess that's what Pastor Burke wanted to do. No, I want you to see it from the Word of God. Amen. And I want them to have an understanding in that. But because of the lack of doctrinal teachings and the lack of an understanding of the local church, when it started with the Lord Jesus Christ and His disciples, and the fact that John was a man sent from heaven with authority, amen, and that John prepared the pieces that God used to start His church. It did not start at Pentecost. It started with the Lord and His calling of those disciples. And you say, what? That's not a big deal. Yes, it is. It changes all of your church doctrine if you don't understand that.
Amen.
Because the Great Commission was not given to individuals. It was not given to a group of men. It was given to his church.
Amen.
It is his church's responsibility to take the gospel. And so therefore, this is God's plan. It is to be done God's way. And if we don't do it God's way, then we're wrong. There is a right way to do it. It was the church that was given the commission. In Acts chapter number 13, you see men there, they were faithful in their church. And God calls these men who are already active and serving in their church. And Paul and Barnabas are called out of that church and they are directed by the Holy Spirit. But the church gives them the authority and commissions them to go out and to share the gospel. That plan was in the New Testament. That plan is still God's plan today. He has not adapted it. He's not changed it. And we have a responsibility to follow that today.
Amen.
Now, I know probably everyone's saying, well, of course, we know this. This is what we do. But you understand, you're the minority, even in Baptist today. You're the minority. But you're right.
Amen, brother.
And I want to encourage you to continue.
Amen.
Now, go back to 2 Samuel and look at this with me. In 2 Samuel, I want you to see this. Where did David mess up? What happened? Uzzah dies. David's upset at God. He's upset. I mean, you can see it in verse number 8. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach. He's upset. Well, what happened? And I want you to see here and carry, understand, keep the picture. That there are those, and it's our responsibility as the Lord's churches, to make sure this commission, this gospel is taken to all the world. We have been chosen to do this. Where did David go wrong? First of all, in verses 1 through 3, David followed an incorrect pattern. He followed an incorrect pattern. You'll notice there again in verse number 1, he gathers all the chosen men of Israel. Now, why did he gather all the chosen men of Israel? Well, I don't think it's no coincidence that before the Philistines sent the ark back, they gathered all their lords together. He gathered all these chosen people together, and then he takes the ark, and he puts it there in verse number 3 on a new cart. Why did he set it on a new cart? That's what the Philistines did. He put it on a new cart, and he sent it, and there was much celebration as the ark was being transported. Why did they do that? Well, that's what the Philistines did. And I know, and I'm thankful today for everyone who shares the gospel. Praise the Lord for everyone who shares the gospel.
Amen.
But my friends, there is a right way of missions, and there is a wrong way of missions.
Mm-hmm.
While I'm thankful for everyone who's taken the gospel out, God's chosen method is to use the local church.
Amen.
And I'm not an enemy of, you know, boards and clearinghouses and whatever other programs are out there. But I do not support them because that wasn't God's chosen method.
Amen.
It's the local church.
Amen.
Now, some really get frustrated. You know, there's some missionaries that I'll talk to, and I'm nice, and everyone can come to our church. If you're preaching the gospel, and you have some, the Baptist doctrine, you come, I will be your friend. But understand, I believe there's a right way and a wrong way. And I will support those who, to the best of my ability, that do things the right way. And you say, well, that's kind of harsh, you know, to take a stand like that. Well, God says there's a right way and a wrong way. And if we're going to strive for masteries, the only way you're going to receive those masteries is if you do it lawfully.
Amen.
And I know there's good people out there trying to do things. And there may even be stories of great success. Which is why a lot of our Baptist churches have gotten off track. Because we've seen success stories from other methods. We've seen other people, I mean, we can get support so much quicker if we can just put a name out there and we're all together and we're one, you know, convention or whatever the case may be. Think how quickly we can get them out. Boy, it sounds pretty good. But if it violates the scriptures, then it's wrong.
Yeah, that's right.
But they've had some success at it. So did the Philistines. They moved the ark successfully. They got it to where they wanted to get it. And I understand there may have been some success, but here's the issue, all right? We as Baptists, and I know I'm preaching to those who would agree with me tonight, but by and large, the general Baptist would look at us and say, it's not a big deal. Which is really our issue with about every other issue in our Christian faith. Because people are looking now, even in our Baptist churches, at what version of the Bible and saying, it's not a big deal. They're looking at matters of music and dress and holiness and all these other areas and saying, well, it's not really a big deal. Every one of those are a big deal to God. He gave us in His Word instructions. He has told us He expects us to live a holy life. Well, it really doesn't matter. Actually, it does. Be ye holy. Doctrine divides, and I understand that, but I'm thankful for doctrine. And I got news for you. I believe with all my heart that when we get to heaven, it will matter what you have believed. Because God has given us instruction. But David got off track because he followed this incorrect pattern. And I want to encourage this church, whatever you may see going on out there, whatever success stories that may come your way, if it violates the Word of God, let God be true and every man a liar.
Amen.
But David got off track because he followed an incorrect pattern. And number two, things terrible happened because people felt incredibly comfortable. See, what do you mean people felt incredibly comfortable? In verse number 3, they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart. Now, this ark had been there for quite a while in Abinadab's house. Uzzah and Ahio had grown up with the ark at their house. They had gotten kind of used to the ark. Say, how do you know that? Because when it started the tip, he didn't think twice about reaching out and grabbing it, which God had instructed never to do. But it was just something he had gotten kind of comfortable with it. He didn't really, verse number 6, when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it. He reached out and he touched this, what he was not to do. Because he had been living with it. It was right there. And it was a blessing to have it in his house. I mean, that's a wonderful thing. His house was blessed because it was there. See, what's your point, preacher? My point is this. It is a blessing to have the true gospel preached in your church week after week. It is a wonderful blessing, as was mentioned, for these kids running around this church to only know what is right. What a thrill. You know, I agree with our brother. I grew up in a Christian home, and I'm thankful that, you know, I have no idea, you know, what alcohol tastes like. I'm thankful for that. It's never been in my house.
Amen.
You know, I'm thankful that, you know, some of the things that the world has to offer, my parents protected me from. I'm thankful I grew up in a house and in churches that taught the truth and stuck to the Word of God. I'm thankful for those things. And there's so much I can tell you today, and I just praise God for it, and it's all because of God's grace.
Amen.
But that is a privilege. But let's face it, sometimes sitting in our churches, we get a little comfortable with the gospel. We get comfortable with our commission. We get comfortable with the Bible. We get comfortable with the commands in Scripture because it's just what we do. I mean, of course we dress right to come to church. Of course we sing the right songs. Of course, you know, we're supposed to be soul winners. We all would amen every one of those things. But how active are we? How many hours have you spent in prayer this year? How often have you took the gospel and tried to build a relationship with someone to see them get saved? It's easy to just get used to everything and become very too familiar with the Word of God and especially the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think everyone that's saved in this room would stand up today and say, yes, amen, I'm glad I'm saved. But how many have we told? Our missionaries that are going out, There are some young people, maybe God wants to call you, and not just young people. You may be retirement age, and God says, I got a plan for you these next few years.
Amen.
Amen. God has a plan for every one of us. And a lot of people would step away and say, I'm not sure I can handle that. I'm not sure that God could use me. If God calls you, I promise that he can. But one of our issues is that we've just gotten so used to doing what we do that we don't think much about it anymore. And it shows in a lack of tears for lost souls. We've got family members that are lost. When was the last time you just fell on your face and wept before God? Now, I am not, and you'll see that this week. I said in services where, and awesome for them. They know how to tell just the right story and make everybody cry and have just the right song sung where you're just like, I have to go forward, right? I don't pull emotion strings like that because if the Holy Spirit, if he ain't the one doing it, then it really don't need to be done.
Amen.
I'll trust him. But I do ask you this, are you listening to him? Because it's possible just to have everything going for you that you just kind of turned a deaf ear.
You're right.
When the preaching starts, you've heard all these sermons. I mean, you've heard, on Sunday mornings, I generally don't turn to a text and you know what he's going to talk about. Sometimes we sit in our pews and we think about everybody who the preacher's talking about, don't we? Yeah, right? But we need to stop. What does God want to say to you tonight? This week, I hope you'll stop and say, God, what will you have me to do this year?
Amen.
Because it's possible. You understand the Bible teaches there that we have been put in trust with the gospel. 1 Thessalonians 2:4, that's a pretty big deal. You, church, have been put in trust with the gospel. Now, Great Commission, we get it. Brother Burke, we know, go on. You understand what the gospel is, right? The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That he is the Son of God, that he died for our sins, that every one of us are sinners, and if we don't turn to Christ with faith and repentance towards Jesus Christ, we will die and go to hell. Now, aren't you thankful for the day that you turn to Jesus Christ and he's your Savior? Amen. They need that message too. I agree with our brother who talked about, missionaries here in the United States and all around you. I think it's an exciting work. I'm thankful I got a missionary out of our church in Mexico right now, seeing a church getting established. Thank God for it. I'm thankful there's a church that I was able to go to a few years ago out of our church, and we just sent Brother Salih, our associate pastor, to check on that church. They've been established in Tatabánya, Hungary. Awesome to see them. They're still going on. I mean, these works are exciting. In Bullhead City, Arizona, is a church planted out of our church. And an hour east of us, there's a church planted out of our church. We are right now in the process of starting a church in downtown Cincinnati out of our church. And I'm thankful for that. Why are we doing these things? Because that's what God has called all of his churches to do this. That is our responsibility. Jesus Christ died for the sins of the whole world. This message is the only hope that man has. And now God has told you, Lehigh Valley, to say, now I am trusting you with my gospel.
Amen.
You have been put in trust with this.
That's good.
We ought to treat that with some utmost respect,
Amen.
Reverence, and willingness. He felt incredibly comfortable. Number three, another reason why these things happen is because they forsook their individual burden. What should have been done? It should have been on their shoulders. But it was easier to put it on a cart. Numbers chapter 4, Numbers chapter 7 specifically say that it was to be bared upon those shoulders. Church, you need to bear that burden. Say, why does Pastor Hammett, why does this church, why are we doing Faith Promise? Why does, and I'll say this to you, I always tell this to my church too, right? Every member of the church should be involved in faith promise giving. Every member. Be involved. My kids, when they got saved and they became a member of the church, I told them to pray. What would God have you to do? You know, my youngest daughter, she's not here. She's back home. She's 10 years old. But she came to me this past missions conference that we had. She said, God wants me to give 50 cents, Dad, every week. I'm glad she prayed about it. I'm glad she came to me. And she'll do things around. She'll get that. She'll put it in. You say, what, 50 cents? You know, what does that do? Well, it takes care by the time that whole year's over. That's almost, you know, you start adding all that up. If every kid in our church gets 50 cents, you know what will happen when they become teenagers?
That's right, brother.
And then if that's something that they know and they see their blessing and God's taking care of them and they become young adults and mom and dad, you know, I venture to say, I've not done all the math, maybe I should have, but just with our kids that got involved this year, we were able to take on the Hall family this year.
Amen.
You know, and I guarantee just with our kids that they took care of a couple months for their support.
Amen.
I encourage everybody to get involved. If you wait till you're 30 to get involved, you won't. If you wait till I get a big job, you won't. Start now, because it's right to do. Well, I'll let someone else do it. No, all of us need to carry the burden. The church ought to bear the burden. We ought to feel the weight of missions. You know, when you're carrying that ark, you understand there's some teamwork here, right? I'm allowed to move, right? You understand there's some teamwork, right? Brother Ben, you can come up here, right? I support you. You have to do that, right? Yeah, come here, right? If me and Brother Hall here were carrying this burden, all right? Right up there, brother. Okay. We didn't practice this at all, did we? All right? Ready? You got an imagination?
Okay, got it.
All right. Let's carry it. Ready? No. Stop. That's exactly what I wanted to happen, right? Because guess what has to happen? If we're going to be successful, he is the missionary and me as the church. Let's go. We got to work together in unity.
That's right.
You know why it's so important that you church, your church and my church, we support each other as missionaries, and because there's a unity there. Mm-hmm. We share a heart. We're sharing direction.
Amen.
I love getting video updates, man. They're the best, right? But I love getting them. They're so much easier to read. But I love them, all right? I love being able to share and know what's going on so I can pray and we can work together. Ready? And we're working together and we're walking and we're doing the work of God. Mm-hmm. And you're working together. Well, I don't have time to read those reports. I don't have time to listen to that stuff. I don't want to get involved. Well, the missionary's going to go. But you're missing out on the blessing. Mm-hmm. And by the way, disaster happens when you as his sending church don't, and you're not willing to carry the burden with him. Bad things are going to happen. Disasters around the corner. But one of the great blessings about carrying the burden, you can be seated, thanks brother. One of the great blessings is that you can walk in unity with your brother. You can carry the burden. And by the way, carrying the burden is a good thing. It's a wonderful thing. Sometimes, again, apply this to you supporting your missionaries. And I know it's a sacrifice. I know these things. Sometimes, and I guarantee if we could bring those Kohathites in here tonight, they'd agree with this. Sometimes, it was hard. I guarantee there were times that they walked uphill, and that wasn't easy. Sometimes the burden got heavy. I guarantee they'd agree with that. I guarantee they'd agree that sometimes it hurt. And it might, well, the Lord leads on our heart to give this year in missions. It might be heavy. And it might hurt a little. We might have to give up a coffee every once in a while. We'll pray about that again, right, Ben? All right, yeah, all right. He walked into church drinking coffee, man. The guy's, it's addiction. All right, you know. But maybe we might have to sacrifice a Netflix subscription. Maybe we might have to sacrifice, you know, a smaller car. Now, I got news for you. You won't miss out if you follow God's plan.
Amen.
But sometimes the burden, it hurts and it's hard and it gets heavy. But if they were here tonight, they'd tell you this. Look at me. It was an honor to carry that burden. It was an honor. To this church with your missionaries, it is an honor to send those men out.
Amen.
It is an honor to put that in an offering week by week. It is an honor to give your faith promise. And for what it's worth, you know, I don't have a scripture for this, but it just makes sense. Those Levites that were riding the cart, and everywhere they went, they rode a cart. I'm sure they're nice guys and they were wonderful people. But the men that were carrying that burden, it's just physical fact. They had to be stronger. From lifting and carrying and lifting and carrying, that wasn't easy. It took some muscle. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And guess what happens to the church that decides we're going to carry this burden?
It's good, brother.
It'll make you a stronger church.
Amen.
And I don't know about you, but I want to be part of a strong church.
Amen.
Not for anybody's glory but the Lord Jesus Christ, but I want to be part of a strong church. And look at me, a strong church is a mission-centered church.
You're right, brother.
And those two things, it's not a coincidence, because God will bless in that way. I'll give you just a couple more and I'll be done. Of why terrible things happen here. It ended up, David, number four, he feared this important task. Look at verse number 9. It says, and David was afraid of the Lord that day. There may be some, and I'll just go on tonight, but there may be some tonight that maybe God wants to call you into this ministry. Or maybe some who you know God wants you to give, but you're not sure if you can make it. Listen to me, and I mean this. God's not going to bankrupt you. God's not going to ask you to give what you cannot give. That God would not do that. But do not be afraid to give what God tells you to, and do not be afraid to surrender to go if God calls you to go.
Amen.
David said, I'm going to take a step back. And he missed out on times of blessing because he wasn't willing to step out in faith and do what was right. Number 5, and I'm done. Number 1, bad things happened here because they followed an incorrect pattern. They felt incredibly comfortable. They forsook their individual burden. They feared the important task. And number 5, this is the happy ending. They found out that it was worth it. Verse number 11 in our text, and the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Did you know where the ark had to stop and where it was stayed? God's blessing poured out upon that house. Lehi, you be faithful to God. And God's blessing will pour out upon this church. You do what God called you to do, and God's blessing will be there. If you do it God's way, there will be blessings. Let me close. Turn over to 1 Chronicles chapter 15, a few pages over. I just want you to see this. And I will pray and be done. 1 Chronicles chapter number 15. David's rehearsing everything that we just talked about. In 1 Chronicles chapter number 15. David's rehearsing everything there, and starting in verse number 1, talks about all those who were there and involved. Then you get down to verse number 12. And he's rehearsing everything that took place. And he says, "And said unto them, ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it." Now he looked back. They're bringing the ark back. Look at verse 13. "For because ye did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order." David said we messed up once because we didn't follow the due order. God told us how to do it, and we must do it God's way.
Amen.
Missions is God calling men out of his churches to be sent with the authority of that church.
Amen.
And that God's churches support these men and carry that burden, that the gospel may go out into the world. You say, "Well, how about all these other ways of doing it?" That's not due order.
Amen.
That's not how God said. So the responsibility is not a collection of churches. It's not a, you know, some convention or some board. It's your job.
Amen.
Carry the burden. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. Lord, I pray that as we look to this week, that God, you will show us how it is our responsibility. That God, you will help us to be surrendered to your will. Lord, if you're calling someone to go, I pray they would surrender this week to go. And in every member of this church, that they will seek diligently with all their heart what you would have them to do. And Father, I pray that you would be glorified, that God, your richest blessings would be poured out upon this church because they have faithfully done what is right, and they have done it lawfully. God, teach us to follow you. Help us to be humble now. In your name I pray. Amen. 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 Pastor.
Thank you. Appreciate that, preacher. Some good thoughts tonight. I hope you'll go home and meditate a little bit on what was preached about tonight, and especially on that part about each of us bearing the burden. And, you know, it's easy sometimes in a larger church, and God has blessed us here, to figure, well, somebody else will bear the burden, and there's enough people bearing the burden. I don't really need to be a part of that. And I really appreciated his testimony even about children being a part of that. And, you know, my testimony, God worked in my life. The first time I gave Faith Promise Missions commitment, I was 9 years old. And it wasn't very much money. I look back on it now, it was very insignificant. But the bigger part was what God did in my heart. And I've given to Faith Promise Missions ever since, every year. God has allowed me to be a part of that. And so there's a great opportunity to be a part of bearing the burden. And then bearing the burden in prayer and upholding our missionaries in prayer. Such a great challenge tonight. And I think it is true. You know, churches like to delegate this stuff out to mission boards and other groups, other agencies, parachurch organizations, because it's more convenient and somebody else can do all the messy work. But that's not the way that God wants us to do it. You see, God has called us to be the mission sending agency as a church. And boy, what a great idea.